Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the morning shift. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson. Dylan behind the glass getting people fuming this morning. This hour is brought to you by Markspain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. We do have the wake-up call on deck. We'll get you the headlines. Dylan, I got to tell you, though, the tweets that are coming in about your top five fast food chicken sandwiches, someone tweeted, this list is so bad, I'm turning around and going home if the day is going to start out like this. Wendy's over Chick-fil-A is an all-time miss.
It's really not, though. Look, they're all great. Let me just put that out there and state that clearly. They are all elite chicken sandwiches.
Yeah, there's no bad chicken sandwich.
There's no bad chicken sandwich. But Wendy's, I think, has a little bit more crisp. When you talk about the crisp factor to Chick-fil-A, Chick-fil-A is more of a breaded thing. They're not a lot of crisp. There's some crispiness, not more than Wendy's. And then I just like the flavor with the spicy of the spicy chicken sandwich specifically from Wendy's. That's what's number one. The spicy chicken sandwich from Wendy's is what's at number one. When you mix in the crispiness, the juiciness, the spice that you get from that first bite, I mean, all of it mixed together is, again, just chef kiss. I absolutely love it.
Good for you, man.
Mike can only shake his head at you.
That's good for you.
I don't understand why Mike's so disappointed.
I just, like, we started off on the wrong foot, and I had trouble wrapping my mind back around where you were going. That's the only thing that happened. You started off with honorable mention KFC, and I was like, what are we doing?
I know. That was a
Burger
weird
King
place
is,
to start.
Burger King's chicken sandwich is better. The Royal Crispy is better.
All right, we're going to dig into this a little bit more. Real quick, let's get you caught up on the headlines before you get into work. Hawks preseason kicked off last night with a loss to the Rockets. Final score, 122-113. MLB postseason continued last night. Brewers beat the Cubs 7-3. Brewers are up in the series 2-0. Dodgers beat the Phillies 4-3. Dodgers are up 2-0. And today the Mariners will take on the Tigers at 4:08. Blue Jays play the Yankees at 8:08. And Mark Sanchez's charges have been up to felony charges for the altercation he got into over the weekend. And Monday night's football, that was intense between the Jags and the Chiefs. The Jags won 31-28.
Intense like camping, right? Is that what you're trying to say? Yeah.
I got it.
Yeah.
That took a second.
What a good dad joke.
anyways. Yeah, man. So 404-726-0929. I know that the phone lines are already lighting up, but if you have something you want to weigh in on, maybe Dylan completely missed one out there, and something we're not even thinking of right now. I know a couple people have weighed in on Twitter. You know, the reason this conversation even started is because Allie and I were talking about the drive-through and talking about the fact that sometimes I get to the drive-through and there's panic. Mm-hmm. And if my wife is with me, she will just straight up sometimes order, like, from the passenger seat. And there was somebody posting about it on social, and I was like, I feel that to my core. Like, where I get up there, and I'm just like, dude, there's a lot going on, a lot of moving parts, and my wife is just like, straight up, I'll take care of it. And I'm curious if there's anybody on the wake-up call that kind of follows along with that. I'm assuming Dylan takes care of mostly his own orders, but I can definitely see Simone coming over the top from the passenger seat and being like, move out of the way, fam.
She actually has never done that because we are very heavy order before, order online.
Yeah, I've gathered just, that now. Yeah. I've gathered that now.
So we've never, to my knowledge, I don't think we've ever had a run-in like that. Maybe just once, but no, we're usually good on that front.
Yeah, 404-726-0929. And like she talked about, if you didn't hear it just a minute ago, it's on the Twitter, at 929 Morning Shift. I'll say it once again. Honorable mention KFC, 5 Burger King, 4 Zaxby's, 3 Popeyes, 2 Chick-fil-A, 1 Wendy's. Dylan, it's a lot. There's a lot going on there. I'm not going to lie. Also, we've talked about all day the Falcons, what they should have done during the bye week, the things you wanted to work on, wanted to see on Monday Night Football with the Buffalo Bills. on Monday night. And I'll say it again, get there early. It's a 7:20, 7:15 kick or whatever it is. It's not the normal 8:20 time slot that you see for Monday Night Football. So make sure you get that thing rolling and headed towards Mercedes-Benz at an early hour. All right, Dylan, let's go ahead and go to the wake-up call. 404-726-0929, and Dylan's on the phone right now as we speak. But let's go ahead and go to line number one. Dylan, let's talk to Jordan from Dallas, Georgia. Jordan, what's going on, man?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, man.
Hey, two things real quick. Dylan, I respect your list, except for the Burger King. That's probably the worst chicken sandwich ever created.
Exactly. Thank you.
Maybe I just got to go back and try it again. You know, so I'm going to go to Burger King and try that again. The second thing is I'm definitely an order before. I use the app. But, Mike, let us be at Starbucks or something. I'm letting my seat back. The missus is going to have to handle that. I'm not doing all that talking at Starbucks. I don't even know how to order at Starbucks. My seat is going back. She's leaning over. She's going to handle that, and we're going to be drinking.
1,000.
I'm going to hang up. Yeah. Have a good one.
Let's go. What a beautiful phone call, man. What a beautiful, like, I couldn't have called in any better myself. He said he's leaning the seat back. You're going to let the missus handle that from the passenger seat.
I realize that. For Starbucks, again,
that's
great,
a lot, bro.
But it's a lot. It's a lot of pressure on Starbucks.
Three shots of this and venti. I don't even know which one's the medium or the large. I don't even know.
I think everyone's had that moment where you walked into Starbucks for the first time. You're like, medium?
But
they're
I will say,
they look at you like you're crazy.
I will say, if I order, I only ever order Starbucks through my wife's app.
Yeah.
Never have I ever gotten to a Starbucks and got, like, my wife is just like, I'm going to order before. We'll go pick it up. Like, straight up. Like, I don't ever say, hold on, I'm going to need a minute at Starbucks.
The one thing that I do love about Simone, one of the many things I love about Simone, the only thing she ever gets from Starbucks is their Empress Cloud green tea. And so I perfected that order. So I don't fear Starbucks like most other people have to.
Yeah, I got all the fear in my chest. I have no idea. All right, let's go to Isaac the Barber, Dylan. Isaac the Barber from Peachtree City. What's up, Isaac?
Hey, what's going on, man?
Hey, man.
Hey, first of all, let me say I am a member of the Mafia.
Let's go. Hey, play,
I'm a member of the Mafia. Welcome. I played O-line and D-line, so I feel you.
Of course you did.
Dylan is sick. So what we need to do, we need for you to check his blood pressure, and we need for Alec to check his forehead. Something's wrong. Okay, Burger King, you can plug your tire with Burger King. So let's throw that out. Okay.
Chicken sandwich is bad.
That is roadkill. We're gonna say leave KFC at honorable mention, and we're gonna do it like this. We're gonna double it up. We're gonna leave Popeye's regular sandwich at 3.
Okay.
We're gonna put the Chick-fil-A regular sandwich at 4.
Okay.
But we have to double it up. So the spicy chicken sandwich from Chick-fil-A has to be number one.
Ah.
And the number two chicken sandwich is the ghost pepper from Popeye's.
Okay. Woo!
That's the list.
Wow.
And that's it.
I can't
We're
mess
done with it.
I appreciate the phone call there, Isaac. I can't mess with the ghost pepper.
There's I appreciate that Isaac reordered it. Like, it wasn't just, you forgot about this.
Yeah,
he
went in on it.
And put together an order.
He said you were sick, Dylan. I don't know if you caught that.
He said
you were sick.
Hey, again, if don't knock it until you try. Until you try a Royal Crispy or the original chicken sandwich or the butter chicken sandwich from Burger King, don't knock it until you try.
It might even just be the name for me, the Royal Crispy. Like, I don't know.
It's so good.
We got anything on the socials
you
want to get to?
Yeah, a couple suggestions. Christopher Belcher said you missed out on the Bojangles chicken sandwich.
Mm. Solid call. Good call.
Yeah, not bad.
Theo the Kid said the list is better than expected. Wendy's sandwich is definitely one.
See?
And it's always fresh.
The people know. If you know it's gas, then you know it's gas.
I do think you forgot one. The Arby's Chicken Bacon Swiss. Ooh, so good. With honey mustard.
Call. That's a good call. Don't
very
know if I've tried it, but
vegan.
I'll try it.
Because you go to Arby's for roast beef.
Does that predate the vegan-ry?
Oh, yeah. That was okay. my number one stop.
Wait. I don't think I know the lore. Allie, when did you become vegan?
That's
10 years ago.
I was going to say.
It's been
a decade.
But I remember. I remember.
Let's try to squeeze a couple. We got full phone lines. Let's try to squeeze a couple more of these in. Hey, let's go to Richard in Dallas, Georgia. Richard, what's going on, man? Welcome back to the show.
What's good, hey, AMD mode? What's happening?
Living a dream, baby. Living a dream.
Hey, man. Y'all just been switched the whole morning up talking about fast food and drive-thrus. All right, so check it out, man. I see it from both sides. I got Allie and Dylan on the order ahead on the app.
Okay.
I stay ordering ahead on the app. But I also feel Mike. when I get there, sometimes they do have that new thing, and I'm like, yo, yeah. I thought I wanted that, but that new thing looked good, man. So, hey, I go both ways, man. And then I got six kids. Sometimes yeah. I do need, hey, hold up a second. Let me get all of these orders together right quick. And my pet peeve is them jokers to tell me, oh, I want a number three, and won't tell me what to drink. So it's just like, help me, help you.
I appreciate
please.
The phone call. And you know what? Sometimes they got the sign before the sign. Y'all ever notice that one? They got the sign before the
yes.
sign. Like, I'm like, oh, there's the drive. Wait a minute. What's this sign back here? Hold on for a second. Oh, man, I didn't even notice that.
People they're
that
trying do- to get you ready.
Yeah,
yes, yes. The people that the places that do the sign before the sign, they know. They're like, hey, there's no excuse.
The sign
we're setting you
sign.
Up for success with this sign right here.
The sign before the sign gets me every single time. You know what I mean? I'm like ready for a biscuit, and then I get a burrito. I don't know. It could get weird. Let's go back to the phone lines. Let's try to get one more in. Let's talk to Larry over in Peachtree Corners. Larry, what's going on, man? Welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, everybody.
How are you?
Good, good. I was going to chime in about having your wife order. I'm hard of hearing. Actually, I have my hearing aids in my pocket because I'm going somewhere to meet somebody. But when I pull up, if I don't have a man, all I hear is what it sounds like on the Peanuts. Wah, 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 wah. My wife, she sits on the other side of the car, and I go, what do they say? She goes, do you want to try the special, you know, burrito sunshine? I'm like, no, this is what I want. But, yeah, as far as chicken sandwiches go, Altoona Burger, Peachtree Corners, best chicken sandwich you're ever going to have in your life.
All right. I'm writing it down. Appreciate the phone call, man. Thank you so
much. Show trip. We got
to
go.
Yeah, he went to Charlie Brown's teacher right there. I love that, man. Shout out to him for calling in. And there's been a couple people that have thrown extra chicken sandwiches out there. Appreciate everybody for weighing in, especially out on the socials. We'll get to some of those as well. But, man, good stuff all the way around. And you know what, Dylan? You always keep the people guessing, man. I'll always say that about your list. You always keep the people guessing. So nice work.
I would love to know if there's going to be controversy within a Publix again, people arguing about your list, because that was phenomenal when that happened the first time.
You know what's going to happen with the Thunder tomorrow when Bo gets here.
Oof.
He's going to have some serious words for you.
I mean, he can bring it all he wants, but again, I'll defend my list 10 toes down. I'll stand on business.
Right now, he's fuming somewhere. I don't know where he's at with the AirPod in, but he's fuming.
He'll be all right.
He will be back tomorrow, but you can continue the chicken conversation on Twitter at 929 Morning Shift. You can also join Sports Radio 929 The Game after each Falcons game for the Falcons Flyover. This is your first chance to call in and react after every Falcons game. It's brought to you by Ticketmaster, the official ticket marketplace of the Atlanta Falcons. It's the Falcons Flyover, immediately following every Falcons postgame this season on Sports Radio 929 The Game. Coming up, we are going to hear from the Falcons today up at Flowery Branch, but we're going to start sizing up what changes we're hoping were made during the bye week. It's next on Sports Radio 929 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Barry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Barry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are the Morning Shift. Thanks for being here this morning. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson. Bo Morgan returns tomorrow. Dylan is behind the glass, always starting some controversy. Today's about chicken sandwiches. We do have a mic'd up coming up in a moment.
Can I tell a very quick story about my chicken sandwich top five Tuesday list?
Go for it.
So, shout out to my mom. She was listening. So, my mom, just for a little bit of lore, she works for the city of Fayetteville. And Dan Cathy, which is Truett Cathy's son, Truett Cathy obviously was the founder, owner of Chick-fil-A.
Yeah.
So she works very closely with Dan Cathy. And so she texted me, I'm headed to a meeting with Dan Cathy this morning, I won't tell him you put Chick-fil-A as number two on your list.
Yeah. Careful with that.
Yeah.
We love some Chick-fil-A.
I love Chick-fil-A. Had Chick-fil-A what? A couple days ago. Did a little survey and everything. Got me another free chicken sandwich.
Can't not
so there
love
you go.
Chick-fil-A.
Exactly. Exactly.
We have a mic'd up coming up in a moment. Obviously, Falcons have had their bye week. For the season, they stand at 2-2. Coming off that win over the Commanders, Buffalo is headed into town on Monday. Mike, you're a former Falcon. You've been through the bye weeks. What is it like? What kinds of things are they adjusting right now?
Well, they're doing a lot of self-scouting. They're understanding more so during the bye week than they ever will. And this is one of the other things that stinks about the early bye week. I think when you look at an early bye week, a lot of people look at it and say, oh, man, you'd love to have that later in the year when you've played more games and you're a little bit more dinged up. The other thing is you don't really have as big of a sample size when it comes to self-scouting, and that's what you do during a bye week. You go back and look at your own film through the first 4 weeks in this instance, and you figure out, you know, what you've been tempted to do the most on second down and medium, or, you know, third and long situations, the passing concepts that you've been running. They don't have as big a sample size. And so I think that they're going to have to really dig in deep and understand where this offense is going and where it's sort of coming from. And, you know, I think that's up to Zach Robinson. He is now in year two. You have already made moves, and T.J. Yates and everybody else being involved in this passing game. But I think you have to look at – I think I would start with, if I was Zach Robinson, start to look at the plays that were not successful given the situation. And when I mean successful plays, there's actually a formula for this. Did you gain 5 yards on first down? Did you gain 70% of the necessary yards on second down? And did you convert on third down? Those are successful plays. You want a very high rate in those categories. I have to think that's what he's doing during the bye week. The good news is your head coach, Raheem Morris, does understand offensive football. He can kind of get with you on some of the concepts, the passing concepts, and other things that you're doing in the backfield. So that's what I think they've been doing over the last week. And hopefully whenever the players show back up, I do believe the players are there today, if I'm not mistaken. I know there is some media availability later on this afternoon. And then, you know, in a normal week, you'd go to work on Wednesday. If it's Monday Night Football, you're going to work on Thursday. I think that they're probably practicing today and then getting back after it on Thursday to start more Buffalo game prep. But I think they're probably spending today ironing out some of those details.
With the bye week, I mean, there was, of course, other games were happening. If you could cherry pick, I know we mentioned the Jags and Chiefs game. You saw some things that you kind of were thinking, maybe if that could be implemented into the Falcons offense, that would be great. Could you kind of cherry pick some of the other things you've seen that you would like to see the Falcons do?
Well, and it's tough because first and foremost, you have to find something that fits who you are schematically and personnel-wise. Like, you're not going to go to a team that runs 80% under center and ever think that that's going to be what we do. And I know there's fans listening going, oh, I wish we did that. Like, that would be awesome. The play action pass works better from that. I wouldn't mind, and I haven't seen this, but I would not mind if we ran wide zone from under center more. And this, I can just see flashes of Peyton Manning handing off to Edgerrin James on their outside zone, wide zone concept stuff. Our wide zone hits a little bit tighter than theirs did with Edgerrin James and guys like Terrell Davis in years past. It's a little bit more of a mid zone where it's a, you know, an aim and point of the butt of the tackle. It cuts back a little bit earlier. I don't know if that's because we run it out of the pistol or if that's the reason we run it out of the pistol, but it's just tough. I would think you're probably going to the Rams. That's where he came from. That's the Sean McVay system you're probably looking at. You're probably understanding, you know, some of their duo concepts, some of the other things that they're able to run. But you have, at times, started to kind of go down the Todd Monken system where you've run wham. You try to do it, and it was not successful last week. So there are things out there. You'll try to marry up personnel. Who has, you know, a power slot guy like Drake London at wide receiver one? Who has a speed guy like Darnell Mooney at wide receiver two? Who has a, you know, a speed tight end at wide receiver three? And who plays with a fullback H-back the way we do Charlie Warner? Then you marry those concepts up. But here's the one thing I do know. We have been most successful when Charlie Warner is on the field. So I would find a way to actually get him the ball in given situations in crunch time. I know he's got good hands. He's made catches in the past, slip screens, things like that, maybe even a draw play to Charlie Warner to just get the defense thinking.
I can't remember if it was you that brought this up. Somebody brought this up to me. I don't remember if it was you or not. But do you think it could be a possibility that – because the Falcons had such an early bye week that we saw the, and you talked about it, some wham, some duo, some of the experimental things that Zach Robinson has sprinkled in, Do you think because they had such an early bye week that maybe he – and I think most coaches kind of do this anyway, even if they have a later bye week, but you kind of hold some stuff back because of that early bye week and, you know, you want to see the stuff you sprinkled in, okay, let's see how it works, see if we want to keep it in or maybe leave it out. And then now moving forward after the bye week, you start to throw in, like you said, more of those wrinkles, more of those add-ons that we were talking about earlier to where, okay, this play worked well for us. What wrinkle can we add on to it to keep the defense guessing?
I don't think they're necessarily holding things back, but I would say that there has probably been certain plays in the playbook that they don't feel like they've had the opportunity to run against specific defenses. You know, you run wham and trap against defenses that penetrate. You run zone schemes and wide zone schemes against teams that two-gap, and you force them to try to hold their gap as you kind of skate down the line of scrimmage. There's just certain defensive fronts that you like to run things against. And we mentioned, I made a big deal about it, and Dave Archer did on the broadcast as well, that they ran power a couple weeks ago, and it was like, oh, my God, they have it in the playbook. They can run power. And the playbook. And actually, it was a counter now that I think about it. It
was a pulling guard.
Yeah, pulling guard with Matthew Bergeron. They ran counter, not power. So you look at it and say it's there, but you do have to have very specific instances. And it's probably not a, hey, let's hold on to it, but it could be more along the lines of let's practice it a little bit longer till we iron out some of the kinks and make it a good play. And so that you could have had things in the playbook where you really liked Caleb McGarry being the blocker for it. And maybe you don't like Elijah Wilkinson as much, and you say, all right, let's find different ways or different fronts to run this against, and let's kind of go from there. So it's definitely an opportunity to kind of do that. I think they've probably done that, and I can't wait to see how that rolls out here in about 5-6 days.
Well, and quick reminder that our wall-to-wall coverage of this Monday's Falcons-Bills game starts at 11 a.m. with a special broadcast from the Signia by Hilton Hotel. Dukes and Bell will be joined by Randy McMichael from Nest on Ford, the Signia Sports Bar overlooking Mercedes-Benz Stadium, as they break down Monday night's matchup. Come out and get your tailgate started early with Dukes and Bell and Randy McMichael Monday from 11 to 3 at the Signia by Hilton on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Allen, pressure comes. Josh turns. And the throw to him. There's a catch there. He's gone. Milano. Milano's going to go. He's in row 10. He's in row 15. He might get a beer. Milano, where are you going, man? It's your moment. Milano, row 40. Led by Allen. He's going to take it the distance. Maybe it wasn't his seat. Maybe he doesn't want to be on TV. He's gone.
Reminder, today's Mic'd Up brought to you by Buffalo's Cafe. Come wing it family style. One of Buffalo's Cafe's 13 Atlanta locations. Guys, I have a very simple question. Was it worth it for this guy? He's been the fan heard around the world. I don't know that I would run away with the football. Is that just the ex-football player in me going, dude, it's just a football? You're in your seat at a primetime game for the Buffalo Bills on Sunday Night Football. You're telling me you are ready to give up the rest of your evening for a souvenir football. I can't say that I would have done the same thing.
So I'm going to answer your question with another question. He couldn't have kept the ball anyway because they throw it away. Like, would they have wanted the ball back? Like what?
They wanted the ball back for sure.
Oh, okay.
1,000%. It's just like an NBA game for a lot of them.
I got you.
You know, you'll see if like the field goal misses the net, you'll see the guys down there be like, hey, throw it back. It's not like baseball where it's just a dime a dozen. Like these footballs are conditioned, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Rubbed on with brushes and things like that. They're like, hey, I want that back.
So now I'll go back to your original question and answer it with my actual statement. I don't think it's worth it.
I
think the experience of, hey, catching the football, saying you caught it, getting your little bit of TV time, showing off the arm to the rest of the Bills organization, everybody else there, throwing it back, and that would have been cool because his seat was way too good to give up.
Bro, you're in the front row.
I'm not giving up my seat. I'll give the ball back.
I'm not doing it.
He just threw the ball away. It's not like it was some special ball. Like, it literally, you caught a ball that was thrown away. It's not that deep. Just give it back.
I don't know.
Keep your seat.
I don't, Allie, I wouldn't do it.
He's going to show it to every single person that comes to his house, though, and be like, I was the guy. I was the guy. I personally could not do it. However, there is a different person telling him something
before he
runs away.
He's like, go.
Or his girlfriend. Someone leans over and talks to him and says something in his ear. Now, I would try to get Grant McCauley to run away.
Grant, go, Grant,
get away.
I have to think this guy has like season tickets and he's been in this situation before and he was like, man, if this ever happens again, I'm going to tuck it under my shirt and I'm going to take off running.
It's a good call.
But I wouldn't do it. Like, am I going to give it to my kid? My kid's going to throw it in a mud puddle in the backyard. You know what I mean? He's not going to understand the significance of it. But maybe you're right, Allie. It's a good point. It's a good story piece, if you will. Maybe it's sitting on his coffee table right now and he has a lot of pride in it.
But he's going to tell the wrong person and they're going to out him.
Yeah. But I don't, like, what can you do at this point if you're the Bills? You can't, like, want the ball back, or you can't, like, take away his season tickets. You would be just absolutely destroyed on social media. So it is what it is at this point. I wouldn't have done it, though. I'm just being honest. I wouldn't have done it.
I know. We're rule followers around here. Yeah. Coming up, we've got national NFL writer for The Athletic, Mike Jones, joining us. Do you think he would take it?
Good question.
We'll find out. That's next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Sports.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Radio 92.9 The Game. It's the morning shift. Welcome back in. Thank you guys so much for listening to us wherever you're at, on the way to work, in the car, on the Odyssey app, in the AirPods, whatever it may be. Still apologizing for Dylan's top five chicken sandwich list just a minute ago. The Twitter is on fire. If you want to see that, go at 929 Morning Shift on X. My name is Mike. Her name is Allie. And Dylan is the one back there playing all the music and giving the bad top five list. So thank you guys so much for hanging out with us. We do need to talk a little more NFL here on this beautiful Tuesday morning. The bye week is officially over, I guess you could say, for the Atlanta Falcons. We are headed into game week, albeit a Monday night football game, so we got a little bit of extra time. And that's why we're going to go to the phone lines and welcome in national NFL writer for The Athletic, our friend Mike Jones. Mike, we were just having a passionate conversation a minute ago about the Bills fan that tucked the football away from the front row and ran and exited the stadium. Mike, I'm going to make the argument that he didn't need to do that, man. Like, it wasn't that serious. It's just a football. Give it back and be on your merry way. Would you have kept the ball and made a run for it? I don't think I would.
Well, my son and I had the same conversation because, see, here's the thing. When a player flips the ball into the stands or whatever, they come and take that ball from you. Yeah. Now, they will give you, like, a replica ball, but it's not one that Josh Allen threw to you. So I think because of that, he was like, dude, when am I ever going to get a real live ball that was tossed to me by Josh Allen? Hey, it's been a nice night. I'm getting out of here, and I am not giving this ball up. I'm not taking a replacement. I want the real thing. Fair so enough. I kind of understand that from that perspective, just because I've seen it. And, yeah, I mean, you can be like, oh, I got a ball at a football game. But you can't say, hey, Josh Allen threw me this ball.
Yeah. Man, fair I just enough, wonder man. If he ran all the way to the car.
Oh, he was like, gone. There was nobody stopping
He was
that
like,
guy.
I am not. I bet you he did not stop until he got there.
I love it.
I want to ask you about Monday Night Football. I mean, what a game for Trevor Lawrence. Jags won. But at this point, should Chiefs fans be panicking?
I mean, I don't know that you should panic yet because they still are not full force. I think you can be a little concerned by some of these shortcomings and some of these uncharacteristic self-inflicted wounds that you're seeing out of them. And, you know, normally they are on the other end. The ball bounces their way. They are on the opposite end of some of those calls. They did get a couple calls that didn't wind up, you know, hurting them, that they kind of got away with some things. But there are some other calls that they don't normally, you know, get. And so I think you can be a little bit concerned, but it is, you know, we're just finishing week five. There's a lot of season left. And when you look at their division, there's nobody that really scares you. You know, the Chargers got off to a good start, but they're having injuries and they have some inconsistencies. The Broncos got a nice win over the Eagles, but they also are very up and down, and you don't really have to worry about the Raiders. So I still think that
when they get everybody back, you know, Rashee Rice will be back soon. Their offense looks pretty good. Once they have him there, that'll be even better for them. So I still think that they can wind up being in pretty good shape. And I my mind goes back to those years with the Patriots. Remember, they had some of those years where September and October, they didn't look great, and we thought, this is the end. And then by November, they were, you know, a well-oiled machine and would make some deep playoff runs. So I still think that's possible for the Chiefs, even though we saw some pretty, you know, concerning things, and they should have won that game.
I'm going to stick with this topic, too, because I think this is interesting. And I'll go to a different team that has championship aspirations. How about the Baltimore Ravens? And I think the stat was like $160 million worth of salary cap did not play the other night. Are they cooked?
Yeah, because here's the thing. Even when they had most of those guys on the field, their defense was still terrible. They couldn't stop anybody. I mean, they've given up 30-plus points, and I think it's four of the five games that they played in, and 300-plus yards in it as well. So there's something that's off with this defense. You know, they decided to give Derrick Henry a decent amount of money, even though he's the age of 31. I don't think that they've invested in pass rusher as well as they should have. They've got Kyle Van Noy, who was on the wrong side of 30, and he's been out, but he's come back, you know, and they have some young guys. But there are just some things that are off, and I don't know that this team is going to be able to overcome them. I don't feel the same way that I do about the Chiefs when I look at the Ravens.
Hanging out with national NFL writer for The Athletic, Mike Jones. Mike, let's stick with this national conversation real quick before we get back into the Atlanta Falcons. I want to talk about Jonathan Gannon. We've covered this topic a little bit this morning about his kind of apology about how animated he was on the sideline after the ball gets dropped before the goal line. I didn't even like, though, that he apologized. I maybe some of the physical chest slapping was a little bit over the top, but this is a guy whose job is seemingly going to be on the line sooner than later, and this is a Cardinals team that's now 2-3.
Yeah, I mean, I guess he could have said, look, I shouldn't have smacked him, but that clown cost us that game. I would not have apologized. I would have just qualified it as, you know, yeah, I shouldn't have, you know, had any physical contact, but I was furious. If you guys don't understand why, you know, then I can't help you. Because, you know, that was just a boneheaded play. And again, like you said, it's not that dude's job that's going to be on the line. It's Jonathan Gannon's. If they wind up falling out of this race in the very competitive NFC West, you know, when that was an opportunity, they should have won that game. They score that touchdown there. They're up 28-3, you know, but instead they give them some momentum and then everything, the wheels just fall off and they lose. So I don't blame him for being furious. And I would have just said, hey, yeah, I shouldn't have smacked him, but I don't apologize for undressing him.
Well, obviously, we are very focused on the Falcons. Bills are coming to Atlanta on Monday. We realize the force that Josh Allen is. We want the Falcons to win. What's the national perspective with this game?
Well, I mean, I think it's another big test for them. Obviously, you know, you're coming off of a bye. You've had time to prepare. You want to see, you know, how they can do. You're hoping that they can build on some of the positives, but they are still a team that's building. So, you kind of got to temper expectations, but you just never know. You know that they're going to be highly motivated to go out there and try to make a statement.
Mike, I want to bring you in the circle of trust here because this is one of the topics we've been kicking around. You know how bye weeks roll. Like, we're kind of just waiting for the next game, and you start kind of doing a little bit of self-scouting, especially us as fans. And we've been talking about the fact that the Falcons actually rank on a per-game basis the number one in total defense, number one in pass defense. I think we're a little bit, though, as a fan base, a little bit timid. It's like, you know, start looking at the quarterbacks you played and you miss Jaden Daniels. But what have you made so far about this Falcons defensive unit? Jeff Ulbrich seems to have stepped up to the plate, and you've had a couple of great performances by the rookies.
Yeah, I mean, you can't really help who you play. You know, if guys are out, they're out. But what just matters is what you do. You know, guys handling their responsibilities, executing the game plan, remaining, you know, within the framework of the defense and making stuff happen. And so I think that that's positive for you. Yes, you know that the road ahead is going to be more challenging, but this is what, you know, the first month of the season is about, is, you know, finding yourself, getting your identity down pat, and then, you know, hopefully building some momentum. So Yes, you've got some young guys up there, but they are seemingly growing into their roles and understand what is needed of them. And so, and that's going to be a big thing, especially when you have a young quarterback. You know, you have talent on offense, but you need a defense to kind of help keep you in games and bail you out at times.
Mike, I'm gonna make you think for a second. I'm gonna ask you about the 2024 NFL draft when it comes to quarterbacks, and I think asking questions like this sort of helps Falcons fans gain a little bit of perspective. It was almost a Drake May coming out party. A lot's been made about Caleb Williams. A lot's been made about Bo Nix. If you were redrafting that first round of the 2024 NFL draft when it comes to quarterbacks, how do you think you would rank those guys? Just looking back on a year and a quarter, I guess it would be at this point in time for those guys.
Well, Jaden Daniels would be number one.
Yeah.
And then I still think I'd go Caleb Williams number two. I sort of give him a bit of a mulligan because he was just in such a bad situation last year. But, you know, we're seeing improvement out of him. Number three, I guess, would be Bo Nix, then Penix, and then we'll see about McCarthy. My main change would just be Jaden Daniels. But, you know, it's we're seeing each of those guys start to come into their own. And, you know, so maybe this will be one of those draft classes that we'll really remember as being kind of historic.
Right. Last thing before we let you go, Mike, and I want to go back to Monday Night Football game last night, the Jacksonville Jaguars. Obviously, we talked about the Kansas City component of this. But, look, Liam Cohen – you knew that he was going to be an offensive guru coming from Tampa. And Travis Hunter, I had my questions about Travis Hunter. Can he actually go both ways? I still have questions about the longevity of it, but he does start both on offense and defense last night, 30 or more snaps, I think, both ways. What have you made about the Jacksonville Jaguars, man? What a massive statement win for them last night.
Yeah, that was huge. And the thing that you take away from them is that, okay, they had talent on this roster, but it was just a leadership thing, an energy thing. You have a young coaching staff, a young front office, guys who've got a lot of energy, a lot to prove, and these players are buying into their philosophies. We're seeing them execute. The thing that's impressed me the most has been the effort of this defense. I mean, they've had multiple takeaways now in every game this season. That has been huge for them. And that gives the offense more opportunities. And, you know, the Travis Hunter experiment is going to be something that we're going to continue to watch. But it was, you know, kind of big to see him make some plays defensively. I still don't know that they feature him enough offensively. A lot of times he's running clear outs for guys underneath. I would like to see them scheme things up a little bit more to take advantage of his athleticism. But maybe, you know, that's something that progresses as the season goes along. But a good job, a really great win for their first-time head coach.
Mike, you're the best, dude. That's NFL writer Mike Jones. You can find him on X at @ByMikeJones. Thanks for hanging out with us this morning, buddy.
All right, thanks. You guys have a good day.
Good
you
stuff,
too.
Good
thanks stuff. So much to Mike Jones for joining us. I am excited to hear from Flowery Branch today and kind of hear where the focus has been over the last few days.
Yeah, I'm curious to see if we'll get insight, you know, in terms of those things. I'm sure that Raheem Morris is keeping things very close to the vest, but sometimes Raheem will let you in. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think Bo does a nice job of this because I don't come from this background of this. You know, Bo has been in sports radio a long time, and he has learned over the course of, what, four or five Falcons head coaches to kind of read between the lines mm-hmm. and some of the things they're saying. I always hear coach speak. Like, as a former player, I'm always like, oh, he's speaking directly to the players. Like, he's trying to, you know, trying to make sure there's not this rat poison effect, and he wants to get a message across. But there are things that can be clapbacks to media narratives at times. And I think that reading between the lines on that, you know, Zach Robinson has even done it in the past where it's like, oh, you know, we're running too much pistol, and he'll either come out and run like only pistol or he won't run any of it. Or, hey, we need to run more bootlegs. The first three plays are bootleg passes. So,
yeah, you could say that.
Curious.
You could say that's the journalist in Bo. So there you go.
Yeah, there you go, man.
The only time where you did not have to read between the lines, though, was when they were telling you Kirk Cousins is not going anywhere. Like, they've been saying that.
Yeah. And I heard exactly that. That's a great way to put it. And Bo has mentioned this before. It took like 4 or 5 days where I was like, no, I really believe he's not going anywhere.
Right.
What's the upside? You're not going to get back what you could have. And I've mentioned it a number of times before. I think the number last year was 58, but 2 or 3 years ago it was 65 starting quarterbacks. we're on that trajectory again. We've already talked about Marcus Mariota, yeah. and we've talked about Carson Wentz and Mac Jones. And like we've gone all the way down that slate.
Yep.
So yeah, it pays to have a guy. It doesn't pay $45 million like you wished it wouldn't, but it pays to have a guy kind of in that in that quarterback meeting room. So we'll see.
Well, if you want to get your Thanksgiving week started with some golf for a great cause, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game's third annual Brown Grass Charity Golf Classic presented by Findlay Roofing is coming up Monday, November 24th at Eagle Watch Golf Club in Woodstock. Now is your chance to sign up. Go to 929thegame.com. Click the events link. But do it now because foursomes are going quickly. We're all going to be out there. It's the third annual Brown Grass Charity Golf Classic benefiting Pets for Vets, November 24th. This hour has been brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com, get a guaranteed offer on your home today, and start packing. We got to get out of here. For Mike, Dylan, myself, Allie Mack, and Squid Nation, by the way. But we'll be back tomorrow.
Ding.
Yeah. Do not worry. No more tweets are needed. Thanks for being here today. The Steakhouse is coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And don't forget to
take your time at the drive-thru, Atlanta.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.